Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
I'll confess that in my youth, and by that I mean primarily in my 20s, my photographic efforts were often hit and miss. I'd do photography for a while, I'd be intense, and then life would get the better of me and I would find that I hadn't done photography for 6 months. And that on-again, off-again, on-again cycle lasted for quite a number of years. And it bothered me, because I knew that wasn't the route to success, at least not in something like art or photography that requires a certain sensitivity as well as a little bit of manual dexterity. So I became a believer in sustained effort. And to this day, I believe that a very important part of the art life is consistency, is persistence, is longevity. And I know this puts me in direct conflict with today's instantaneous culture, Instagram and Facebook, which are often accomplished in bursts of a moment or two or a weekend, but more difficult to sustain with longevity. I know it can be done. I've seen it done. But that's not the common way to use instantaneous media like Facebook or Instagram. I don't mean to put them down, but I'm first and foremost a pragmatist, which means if it works, it works, and if it doesn't work, well, it doesn't work. And in terms of promoting a certain consistency and persistence and longevity, I just don't see that social media is of much use there. Mostly, what I see anyway, are sort of quick in, quick out examples of photography that don't require any sustained effort. As a matter of fact, they're almost the opposite of sustained effort. My 50 years in photography have provided, at least to me anyway, evidence over and over again of the virtues of longevity. What do I mean by that? Well, simply this. If you stick with something long enough, good things will result. Maybe not 100% of the time, and there's no predictability about how long you have to stick with something in order for results to start to manifest. But if you're playing the statistical odds, sticking with something, working on a project or a location or a book or something like that that requires commitment, is likely to lead to more success than the hit-or-miss approach that avoids consistency, persistence, and longevity. My experience, of course, may not be definitive proof of this observation, but in my creative life, persistence has always been a reliable strategy. And in order to hopefully drive home this point, here's a few examples I'll offer as food for thought. The first example, of course, probably has to be lens work itself and what happens in the world of publishing, which I know is a unique experience for me that may not pertain to the rest of you, but it illustrates the point so well, I think I'll use it anyway, and that is this. The average magazine has a lifespan of about 3.5 years, and we've been publishing lens work 32 years. And I can tell you it's required consistency and persistence and longevity because it's not an easy thing to do, as you could well imagine. But whatever impact lens work has amongst our readers, it has so not because we published for a year or two, like so many magazines that dry up and blow away, but it has longevity. And now that we've published 174 issues of lens work, we've developed a reputation amongst our readers that sustains it. But there was no guarantee that that was going to happen. And the best way I can illustrate that is with the very term magazine. When I use the term magazine, you probably think of a certain kind of publication that you find on the magazine rack at Barnes & Noble or somewhere else, and they all sort of follow a pattern. They're the same size, and they have the same kind of printing and the same kind of paper, and Lenswork doesn't do any of that. So we've always struggled with what to call Lenswork, because it seems like calling it a magazine is a misnomer because it brings to mind a certain thing which lens work is not. And this is where persistence and longevity comes in, because it takes people a while to figure out how to react to something new. And in the early days of lens work, when we had hardly any subscribers, it took several issues for people to sort of figure us out. And until that happened, they couldn't employ word of mouth to say, hey, I found this neat publication that you ought to take a look at, to their fellow photographers and peers and whatnot, because it wasn't obvious what lens work was. It wasn't like all the other camera magazines. And so persistence and longevity, we recognized from the very beginning, was going to be required in order for lens work to establish itself and for people to know what it is that we were doing. And we complicated that, of course, because the first 12 issues of lens work basically had no pictures. They were text only. If you can imagine a photography magazine with no pictures, as I've said before, maybe not my most brilliant business strategy. So we didn't really sort of hit our stride until lens work number 13, when we started publishing images as portfolios of photographs. We started publishing lens work in September of 1993, and we didn't quite figure out what lens work was supposed to be until lens work number 13 in spring of 1996. That's almost 3 years. Well, like I say, according to the statistics, most magazines only last 3.5 years. It took us almost that long just to figure out what we were doing. And without a certain persistence, without a certain longevity, lens work probably would have never gotten off the ground. So I guess the principle here is that even when you start something new with passion and enthusiasm and commitment, it may take a while before you figure out what it is you really want to do, and you have to allow that to develop, to reveal itself. And that requires persistence and a certain longevity. Let me talk about the podcast, because, as you've probably heard me say before, when we started the podcast in February of 2004, it was because I wanted to do a blog, but I can't type hardly at all. And so a written blog just didn't make sense with my capabilities. But I know a lot about audio, and so I decided to do an audio blog. And about 6 months later, Apple introduced the term and the concept of podcasting. So, you've probably heard me say this, because I love to say it, is that we were podcasting before podcasting was even podcasting. Well, that's the background, and with obviously 1,400-plus podcasts now under our belt, persistence and longevity counts. But there's another part of that, and that has to do with Here's a Thought. One of the things that I recognized with the podcast in the relatively early days was that there were some topics that just didn't require, didn't deserve a podcast of 20 or 30 minutes. They were little thoughts. They were things worth talking about, but quick hit ideas. And they didn't fit the format of the podcast. So trying to figure out what to do with these, I came up with the Here's a Thought idea, which essentially grew out of the podcast. And that's the second reason in favor of persistence and longevity, is you never know when what you're doing, which may or may not be important, is going to lead to something which might be incredibly and extremely important in your creative life. I would not have started the Here's a Thought project, except for the fact that Here's a Thought provided a solution to one of the frustrations of the way I had structured the podcast. So Here's a Thought grew out of the podcast. And we've now done almost 2,500 Here's a Thought commentaries that I can guarantee you would never have happened if I hadn't started with the podcast. So whatever you do, even though it may or may not be a great idea in and of itself, might lead to something. But you'll never know unless you work with persistence and longevity and a certain amount of commitment. The third project I want to talk about is what I call the New 100 Prints Project. And the story behind this was that I decided, like so many photographers, that I wanted to post a new photograph on a regular basis on my website. And full of enthusiasm, I decided I would do a new image every day. And then I thought, no, I won't, because I don't have that kind of discipline to do a new image every day. So I spent a couple of weeks just watching my daily workflow and the ebb and flow of my other responsibilities until I decided that, reasonably speaking, I could do a new post every third day. So I developed this structure called the New 100 Prints Project, where every third day I would post a new image with a little bit of text about that image and a little short audio segment also about that image, but discussing it from a different point of view. So now that I had the structure and the idea, I launched it, and the first episode had one viewer. That was me, because I was double-checking the links all worked and whatnot. And that was it. And so 3 days later, I posted post number two, and there was one viewer. And 3 days later, I posted post number three, and there were two viewers. I was one of the viewers checking the links, and Maureen looked at it. So now I had an audience of two. Well, fast forward about 30 days, and I think I had, at that point, maybe 5 or 10 people who were viewing the images that came up every third day. And I thought, well, is this worth doing, or should I stop? Because there wasn't anybody looking at it. And then I realized, no, wait a minute. I'm not doing anything to promote this or advertise it. I'm relying strictly on word of mouth. Word of mouth takes time. So I made a commitment that I would stick with the every third day post for 6 months and see how it worked. At the end of 60 days, I had 50 people viewing it. At the end of 90 days, I had a couple hundred people viewing it. It wasn't until I was in the sixth or seventh month that I had several thousand people viewing it. It takes time. But it's so easy when you launch something like that to give up on it too early because you don't give word of mouth time to kick in and for people to send links around to all their friends and say, hey, here's something interesting you might be fascinated to know about. If it weren't for persistence and a certain longevity, that project would have never gotten launched. Doing a new image every third day, I figured I would probably have the 100 images done in about a year. So I gave myself a year to finish it, thinking there would be some days that I would skip and be busy or traveling or whatever the case may be. In fact, I finished the project early because I kept watching the interest in it grow. And as it grew, that provided me more motivation and more incentive. And so I started spending even more time doing it. The quality went up. And when it was all said and done, and I kind of wrapped up that project and said, okay, the new 100 prints project has 100 prints, I'm done. People said, oh no, keep going. And that encouragement eventually grew into what is currently being published as Every Picture is a Compromise over at my personal website. And exactly the same pattern happened. The first month of posts was seen by hardly anybody. The second month, it started to pick up a little steam. By the time I'd been doing it 6 months or 9 months, it was really hitting its stride. And now, I don't dare miss a day, or I start getting emails from people asking if I'm okay. So again, an example where persistence and longevity have led to something very positive in my art life. Let me talk for just a minute about photographing in Japan. I've been to Japan 9 times. And in those 9 visits to Japan, I've gone to the same location to photograph 8 out of those 9 trips. Well, you might say, why keep going back to the same place over and over and over again? This is where persistence and longevity kick in. By going back to the same place rather than a different place every time I go to Japan, I've gotten to know that one place pretty well, pretty deeply. I know more now than the first time, so I know what times of year to go or best. and when to get the best images, when to avoid the crowds, when to be there for the right festivals. And it reflects a strategy I've had for my entire photographic life, which is I would much rather know one place deeply than a whole bunch of places, but only on a shallow level, a superficial level. And that principle applies whether I'm going to the Oregon coast, to the desert southwest, or within 3 miles of where I live. Going back over and over again to the same place with persistence tends to create a point of view and a perspective that's much deeper than popping into some place, photographing for an afternoon, and never going back. It's not like I made a commitment to do a portrait of this particular location in Japan. It's just that I knew by going back over and over and over again that I would see different things, that every time I went back, I would be different, let alone the season, the place, the people would be different. Knowing one place deeply might not be the appropriate strategy for everyone. I know travel photography is a big deal. But knowing myself, that was an easy decision, because I know whenever I visit a place, whatever work I do during that visit is not going to be definitive, is not going to photograph everything that's possible to do there. I won't meet everybody, see every place, experience every weather. That takes time, persistence, and longevity. And sure, that leads to the fact that there are lots and lots and lots and lots of places I've never been. But life is short. You pick and choose, and for me, it's much more valuable that I have a few places that I know very, very well, rather than hundreds of places where I've only spent an hour or two photographing. And the last example I want to talk about is my PDF periodical publication I titled Kokoro, because this has to do with structure. Once I had decided that I wanted to do a personal publication of my work independent of lens work, then the question is, what would that look like? And I started by building a structure, or what we might characterize as templates, that the publication would be a PDF, it would have this many kinds of pictures, there would be these components, it would have this kind of graphics, etc., etc. Once I had developed that structure, that gave me a foundation, which I knew I could use with persistence and longevity to create a lot of work. At last count, I've done 175 photographic projects that have been published in Kokoro over the last, 10 years or so. Commitment to a structure used with persistence and longevity helps deepen the content that we create, because we don't have to spend so much of our creative energy working on what's it going to look like, what's the structure going to be. The structure helps us focus our attention on the content, and that is a tremendous fuel for productivity. Now, by the way, one thing against structure, you might say, is that it can become inflexible and box you into whatever creative expressions are available to that structure. But that's not true, because I've modified the structure of Kokoro from time to time. For example, I introduced Seeing in Sixes that were six image projects only. And some years after that, I introduced the concept of one picture stories that was just a single image with a larger body of text. And most recently, I introduced Field Notes as a part of Kokoro. So a structure doesn't mean rigidity, because we can modify the structure, and if we do so without too much deconstruction, it still looks and feels like the same thing used with persistence and longevity. I guess what I'm trying to get at is this, that learning by doing is fundamental to human nature. That's the way most of us learn, is by doing something. And if art making is the process of learning, then what better way is there to pursue the art life than by accelerating learning through commitment and persistence over an extended period of time with longevity? I'm not sure it makes any difference what we're persistent at doing, but I can't help but conclude that persistence and longevity are virtues that lead us and guide us into the right opportunities in our art life. At least, that's been my experience. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if there was a case to be made for the opposite of persistence and longevity. I can see that there would be a virtue that's done one-off, instantaneously, and that's it. I could see that being a virtue too, but not to the exclusion of the kinds of artistic projects that require commitment, persistence, and longevity. Without some sort of commitment, without some sort of dedication, without some sort of longevity, it's so easy for the camera to sit on the shelf and for months or years or decades to slip by without significant growth, without significant productivity, without the necessary learning that is the foundation of the art life.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.